So, who do you think this might be?
Never in human history has there been so great a possibility of good as at the present day, and never has there been so great a likelihood of appalling evil. This makes ours a very difficult time in which to live, and makes certain demands upon us, both individually and nationally, which in easier times would not be made.
Well, that's one of my favourite philosophers and sexual athletes, Lord Russell, Bertie Russell to his friends. He turns up later in this rather unusual science show on ABC Radio National. Hello, I'm Robin Williams. And next Thursday, the second Catalyst celebration of 10 years on air. Here's a sample of the delights you're in for. Graham Phillips.
First, Marianne. Now, you've been our resident medical reporter for what, 5 years now?
Yeah, and I've certainly done some stories that have stirred some rigorous debate. But there's always one subject that seems to capture everyone's interest, and that's their reproductive organs.
Years ago, making babies was done the old-fashioned way.
Oh, baby. It's good.
Today, it's a different story for many couples. Who would have imagined all those years ago that one day you wouldn't need sex to make babies? Well, in vitro fertilisation, or IVF, began the reproductive revolution. Dr. John McBain was part of the team that made Australia's first test tube baby, Candice Reed.
The doctors were exultant that this had finally worked.
Candice recently celebrated her 30th birthday.
The best thing about being an IVF baby is knowing that I was loved and wanted well before I was even conceived.
Over the years, the success rates of IVF have seen dramatic improvements.
My calculation looking back at these days was that Linda Reed's chance of becoming pregnant when she entered our program was 2%. Nowadays, that woman of that same age would have about a 40% chance of success.
In 2002, Catalyst met Carl Wood, Australia's IVF pioneer. He brought us babies without sex. We also met Carl Gerassi, who invented the contraceptive pill. He brought us sex without babies.
The two things together made possible the total separation of sex and reproduction. Sex for fun in bed, fertilization under the microscope.
Back then, both professors made predictions about the impact of IVF in the future.
A woman will not be finished with childbearing in her early 40s, but could well extend it by 5 or maybe even 10 years, because the uterus does not age as quickly as the ovary.
Jonica, you seem to be attracted to brain stories, yet you trained as a vet. What's going on there?
Natural progression, I guess. I mean, we are the ultimate animal. And I was so lucky when I joined Catalyst, a revolution in our understanding of the brain was occurring. So much so, I call it the decade of the brain. And the biggest discovery we've made about our brains in the last decade is just how changeable they really are. The scientists call it plasticity.
We used to think the brain stayed much the same once it reached adult size at age 12. Then along came a transformative technology, the MRI, to show us how wrong we were.
What we've found, to our surprise, is that between the age of 12 and young adulthood, there's a loss of this grey matter. It's losing perhaps 30,000 connections per second. Per second?
Scientists were witnessing an unexpected frenzy of brain remodelling. From age 12, the grey matter, the thinking part, is being pruned, keeping only the most efficient connections. Meanwhile, whole brain sections are being coated in a white substance called myelin. This white matter speeds up nerve conductance 100-fold, creating fast brain superhighways. But the brain's redevelopment doesn't stop after adolescence. as I discovered a year later by going head-to-head with 60-plus baby boomer Richard Neville.
You feeling confident?
Actually, I'm feeling pretty nervous. He's pretty smart.
Am I whacking these on?
It turns out brains Richard's age are superior at emotional cognition and verbal tests.
Snaky, specious.
More surprising, Richard's brain is faster than mine at putting on the brain brakes.
So Richard was actually twice as good as me at inhibiting responses, at inhibiting impulses.
Yeah, I wish I was competitive, then I could gloat.
So we're going to look at some brains now.
The reason? And we may lose grey matter with age, but up to the age of 50, we continue to acquire white matter. The internet cables, if you like, of the brain.
Wisdom is having a really fast internet that's online and with a huge bandwidth. That's what comes with age.
The Hubble's good, but the James Webb Space Telescope, now that's a telescope. It'll be launched in 5 years' time.
It'll be a much larger aperture telescope, so around 6 metres instead of 2.4 metres. It's going to be located out of Earth orbit, so in fact, it has to work. Once you put it up there, there's no chance of sending up the space shuttle to refurbish or fix it, so fingers crossed.
The other thing that's different about the James Webb Space Telescope is that it will be observing in the infrared. And that means it will see light that's redder than red, redder than our eyes can see.
That'll mean it'll be able to peer through the dust in galaxies. We'll be able to see our cosmos in exquisite detail by the time Catalyst is celebrating its 20th year.
And Catalyst, the second 10-year celebration, is on ABC One next Thursday evening at 8. Time for some more advice on our times from Bertrand Russell.
Courage is needed to retain a rational outlook when reason can offer no certainty of a happy outcome. Many people, under the influence of fear, are inclined to relapse into some form of superstition, or to advocate on our side the very same detestable regimentation which leads us to condemn totalitarian regimes, not perceiving that this is to suffer moral defeat before the contest has begun. Meanwhile, we must retain sanity, which is difficult if we brood too much over what is dark and tragic. Whatever may be in store for us and for the world, it is well that our leisure should be spent in enjoying whatever can be enjoyed without injury to others. There are still dewy mornings and summer evenings and the sea and the stars. There are still love and friendship and music and poetry. There have been earlier cataclysms, but the spirit of man has survived. In spite of some alarmists, it is hardly likely that our species will completely exterminate itself. And so long as man continues to exist, we may be pretty sure that whatever he may suffer for a time, and whatever brightness may be eclipsed, he will emerge sooner or later, perhaps strengthened and reinvigorated by a period of mental sleep. It is to the possible achievements of man that our ultimate loyalty is due, and in that thought, the brief troubles of our unquiet epoch become endurable.